Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate. Now listen to this.
Boss, what time is it?
Woo! Let's roll out!
Well, we knew that. Edition, a secret edition even, of Soma Time. And I'm your host here, Dr. Mark. The number not to call tonight is 646-478-4847, because we're already on the air and you don't even know I'm here. But kind of like most shows, only this one's a little different. As we wind down here, a little Brucella here. We are going to be discussing some things tonight with our special guest that will make most of the other shows we've done in the last, well, ever, pale in comparison. Come on, baby. All right, let's wind it down there, Bruce. We got to get to the show here. Okay, so what are we doing here at 1 o'clock in the morning, sneaking in a show over the weekend here, like the Baltimore Colts leaving to go to Indianapolis? Well, I have, gotten really on this little paper trail that started back in the spring with the swine fear. And just to make it official, here it is.
Oh, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was
going to
say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's right. And we've really, you know, we spent the entire month of October, as I called it, Oinktober, going through a lot of the sides of the argument that I stand on. And I stand on them firmly. Ooh, do I. Jumping up and down, even. And, you know, you can go back and look at the shows. Barbara Lo Fisher was on. We've had a whole bunch of other guests on talking about just vaccine information, education, making choices. A lot of it has to do with the preserving something I feel is something we never should give up, which is our personal freedoms. And we have a personal freedom to do one of two things, to live a healthy, happy, and really open and socially proactive lifestyle, or a completely self-destructive, screwed up one that sends us off the planet. We have to make that choice. We're grown-up adults here, and we really have sort of almost leaned on the government and leaned on the allopathic system and leaned on public education like a set of crutches basically to kind of surrogate us and be sort of phony parents to us to tell us right from wrong and make every decision from cradle to grave. And they've proven to be untrustworthy, dysfunctional parents. And this last 6 months of the swine fear has really proven that a lot of us are waking up. We're waking up out there. And we're starting to get a little PO'd, and we're starting to identify these same people that we trusted, as Batman says.
You filthy criminies.
Right. So the latest batch that came over the wall were the scientists in this British university in, that was part of ClimateGate. And we documented that last Wednesday on the show. We had a scientist on, you know, Doug Millett from the Space Shuttle program, talking about how that event impacted the scientific community as a whole and specifically how it affects the space program. And his solution to a lot of the environmental problems we're experiencing is that it's time to expand into space. Well, we're going to spend a little time today here on the ground talking about what's going on around this whole situation. So I had dialed up my friend there on the YouTube, otherwise known as the Sacromaniac. His on-air persona is called NSM Doc, and he's been just chipping away at the stone like a lot of us, just trying to, you know, put all these puzzle pieces together. So I interviewed him before, earlier tonight, and I wanted to replay it here on the BTR and get people out there, you know, pitching this thing out to their friends and just ponder what this man says over the weekend. And all I'm asking you to do, everyone comes into these things with a lot of preconceived notions. Everyone comes into this with their own personal opinions about that stuff. And this is not where opinions are going to be really the currency. All right? We're dealing with facts and bullshit. That's it. It's that simple. And some stuff is real, and some stuff ain't real at all. And hopefully at the end of the hour, listening to what we were talking about here, you'll be able to separate those two things a little bit better. Not because it's your belief system doing it, not because it's something that's spiritually coming from some, you know, star in the, the North Star or something like that. It's not. This is, you know, something that pisses me off about all this stuff. How many times do we need to kill Santa Claus until he's dead? There's a lot of myths in this culture. And you've seen over the last 30 or 40 years how many of these myths have proven to be very harmful to people. So sometimes, and this is, goes back to my upbringing as a researcher, Paul Rapp, the famous brain researcher down at the University of Pennsylvania, once told me, Flippy, you've got to believe the bullshit that keeps you sane. And I always kind of took that with a grain of salt, if you can take that statement with a grain of salt. Because if it keeps you sane, but it keeps you basically from being able to adapt when conditions change, you've got to be able to question your own BS. That's why one of the little tags on the show was beyond the BS, beyond the belief system, beyond the orientation that we get from our culture and from other people, and really getting into an inner truth. And I always tell people it's a very simple rule here in Somatic Land, the truth is light, period. Ain't no debating any of that. So without further ado, I will disappear into the background and leave you guys to the dulcet tones of my friend NSM Doc and I as we discuss life on planet Earth as it exists this morning. I take it away, NSM Doc and me. All right, so after much back and forth, we have finally connected with our friend out there on the West Coast, somewhere up in the YouTube, you know, cyber sphere up there where all the information is being bounced off the clouds. We're joined by the Sacromaniac himself, NSM Doc. So welcome to Somatime, and this is the Somatime on the down low because we couldn't get you on live on Wednesday night, so we're pleased to have you on here today. Maybe we can, before the weekend's up, we can clear up all these controversies because next week, as you know, we're going over the falls, and that cap and trade treaty is pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. So welcome to Somatime, and let's get you a proper introduction here. You have an interesting background that led you to get going on YouTube. Why don't you give the folks that are listening that haven't heard of this stuff and, frankly, don't have much of a grip on it, you know, how'd you get involved in all this controversy?
Well, we were just kind of hanging out, me and the club. You know, I'm Sergeant at Arms for Sacromaniacs Motorcycle Club. And we've been around about 35 years, and we got a knock at the door in the middle of the afternoon a year ago, April, and it was Department of Homeland Security. They said they were doing Operation Snag, and they had the local police and everything with them, and they came in my house, drugged my wife outside, and took pictures of us. They said for their terrorist database, made us hold up these Department of Homeland Security mugshot signs, and then they came outside with a caricature I had had drawn of my wife at the state fair of her sitting on the back of a motorcycle, and they said that was gang paraphernalia, and then they used that as an excuse to round up our entire club and made them all line up, take pictures of mug shots of them, and held us in jail. I was in jail 13 days without charge, just awaiting some nebulous investigation, but they finally, after 13 days, let us go. And because we've had dealings and stuff, you know, being an outlaw motorcycle club in our beginnings, you know, they kind of say a little bit more, get in our face a little bit more than they do the average person. And when they finally had to cut us loose, they made sure to let us know that the next time they came, that they would never have to cut us loose. And so I figured, well, I should probably let some folks know that that's coming their way. And so that was the biggest motivation to get out there and do something, was the threat of them coming back.
Now, these guys were coming from what jurisdiction? Were they, you know, it was government officials, it was state officials? Who was it rounded you guys up?
Well, they had the local police with them, but the feds and the Department of Homeland Security were the ones running the whole thing. And they're the ones that made us hold up the mug shots. It said Department of Homeland Security right on them, and it had a little, you know, the name and then a number underneath. And they said it was for their Homeland Security database, terrorist database. So, you know, I figured that if the motorcycle clubs here in America are terrorists now, that folks ought to get into looking into just exactly who the government is classifying as a terrorist.
And again, this is something that your club didn't exactly form, you know, 2 years ago. This has been established, you know, how long has your club been in existence in and of itself, you know, just before all this started happening?
Now, we've been around about 35 years, and like most of the clubs, you know, we had our start the same kind of way, you know. We were, you know, drinking and fighting and doing all them things that the clubs always did back then, you know, and so we had that same kind of reputation. But about 10 years ago, some of our kids started copying the things we did, you know, and some of them got a lot of time, and we decided that was the wrong way to go. And so we went to a clean and sober outfit, you know, and basically, you know, we want to be free. We want our freedom, you know, to ride and, you know, to dress the way we want to dress, talk the way we want to talk, you know. That's, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about freedom, and we don't have that anymore.
Yeah, so this experience happens to you, motivates you to go out and use social media as a means to be your kind of digital, a bullhorn to get people alerted. And this coincides with, you know, going back to when it happened. You know, that was the year of the election, 2008, and then coming forward, and all the things that have been going on. Now, I'm sitting over here on the other end of the spectrum, just being my holistic little rebellious self over here, and I'm fishing around for, you know, how they're taking away, and the healthcare reform debate started back in the summer, and how they're basically, you know, buddying up to the insurance companies and big pharma. And I'm saying, you know, as someone who's operated outside the system for almost 20 years now, trying to get folks to not rely on three things: the government to protect them, the healthcare system to keep them well, and the educational system to get them smart. Anytime you lean on any of those things too much, you're stuck in the mud, and you're going to be just donating your brain before you're dead. So I would always advise people to say, you know, be aware, because these people are not out for your best interest. And so when the healthcare debate started, I started saying, okay, this is now in the summer after the spring of the first wave of the swine fear that came through. And everybody, you know, started putting down their bacon, you know, oh my God, it's the pig, you know, and carrying through over the summer, I started noticing a lot of stuff got posted on YouTube that had to do not so much with healthcare, but with things like you're talking about, like Homeland Security and things like bioterror. And some of the stuff that got out there was posted by pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer about things like, oh, I don't know, Yersinia pestis and bioterror weapons. That were in labs that were making vaccines. Remember, they were pushing this vaccine down our throats there. They were going to manufacture this thing overnight. They fast-tracked it. Oh, it's safe, it's safe, it's safe. And so I started seeing, like, okay, this is like a fair is foul, foul is fair kind of thing. And probably about 2-3 months ago, I had a couple of guests on that were talking about vaccine, not so much for or against vaccines, but just the information part, just the informed consent part, just making people individually decide if they're going to do this or not. And here in New York State, the nurses went up to Albany and they protested because they were trying to mandate the healthcare workers would get this thing. And after Europe and Asia, the healthcare workers were refusing it. Military personnel were refusing it. You start going, okay, this is starting to look like less of a health concern. And then started using that word, public, everything. Health, public, option for this, public option for that. And that starts getting away from private. Starts getting away from personal. Starts getting away from being individual. Like you're talking about, this concept of freedom is becoming a little bit of a fleeting concept. And I started seeing, okay, this is the way they're going to get around it. If you don't get your vaccine, you become a public health hazard. You're a dissident. And I started saying, now we're starting to get closer to the political side of this. And I started fishing around for more information of how are they going to make this happen when, individuals can decide to flip the bird, and then they're going to start, targeting individuals that they want to, basically use to set examples. So I had Barbara Lowe Fisher on the show. They had a vaccine conference right outside of Washington, D.C. The dude that does that natural health blog that was blowing the whistle on him, and forget his name, Mike something or other, the health with the health ranger, whatever his name is. He was on there, talking about how these things are basically in cahoots here. We have the World Health Organization and my buddies over there at the CDC, the disease cheerleaders, were basically in lockstep with Homeland Security and this policy that was coming over the horizon that was saying the government is now not only going to reform healthcare, but it's going to reform the way that citizens are going to be identified. And then I started reading about your friends over there with the chips, sticking the chips in us. And then I see, this is all happening within a month and a half, then I see the great state of Massachusetts, the big bastion of liberalism and Ted Kennedy and stuff, fast tracks a law to stick chips in people to see if they got their swine flu shot, and they're sicking the Child Protective Services on the families that are not getting vaccinated. And I'm like, okay, that's the beginning of the end. This is getting nasty. And then I found you. And then I sat there having to grab with both hands to get my jaw off the floor as I watched you just going through your normal daily spiel about, they're building holes all over the country to stick us in the ground. And I was like, what? Wait a minute. This stuff is usually for the people that had the tinfoil on their heads and, they were gone. They were looking for the aliens in their soup. And I'm seeing, no, he's sitting there just calmly, rationally reading over this. Here's Google Earth, dudes. You don't fight me. Here's this. Here's a document over here. And I was, and then I sat there and through that PDF, I think I still have a couple of holes in my retina, of reading through this Agenda 21 thing. Now, I always knew about Rockefeller, being a New Yorker, that guy was just, not exactly one of nature's noblemen. And one of the backdoor things about that is remember the feminist movement in the 70s, how staunchly opposed the right wing was to, the bra burners and things like that. But what Rockefeller said in one of those conversations that they kind of leaked out was that they encouraged it because it got women into the workforce. And so basically they could start getting cheaper labor. And so all these things started adding up. And I'm not a conspiracy guy at all. I basically look at a lot of that stuff as like, you're chasing the moon here. But when you start seeing things add up, like all these disparate events, swine flu over here and this over there, and legislation coming over the horn saying we're going to make you do this, I started saying there's something bigger than this. And Agenda 21 flipped the switch for me that this is not just something that's accidentally happening. There's somebody conducting the orchestra here.
Oh, most definitely somebody is conducting the orchestra here. And there's a couple of different trains of thought on who the conductor is. Now, there's a group within the group that runs everything, right? Well, you could call it the Bilderberg and CFR. You could call it the Illuminati. You could call it all kinds of things. But the fact is there are people that do run the world, very rich, powerful people. And these people have access to the secret information that most of us don't get to see. And so some of them read some reports done during the Eisenhower presidency right after World War II that said that by the year 2100, that if they didn't cut the population by two-thirds, that we would become extinct as a people. And so they believe this wholeheartedly. And they have to get the people there either by their own choice, which who's going to choose to do that, or by stealth.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been testing out these different types of vaccines, sterilization, the Hep B vaccine, sterilized millions in Africa. And, of course, it was the World Health Organization that put that out. And, of course, you want to say, well, how does Rockefeller attach to the World Health Organization and the Hep B vaccine? And it's because of the initiation involved in the groups that they're in. You can only move ahead by degree. And all secret societies are set up the same. And even though the Bilderberg group is written about in the papers, it is a secret society. And you are moved ahead by degree, just as you are in the Masons or any other of the Rose Cross or any of those other institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like being vetted at every level. And they put these people through tests to see if they'll do the things that they need them to do. And they believe that if they don't get rid of two-thirds of the people, we'll be extinct. And so they think that they're doing what's humane for humanity. They think they're saving humanity. It's their religion. It really is. And so when somebody comes on and shows you 20 million new graves, right, and the locations from Google Earth, right, and a brand new vaccination that has come out, and then the lady Jane Burgermeister has filed charges against the World Health Organization and the UN on several different counts. But one was they mixed H5N1 with the first groups of vaccine and then sent them off to Poland, where, of course, it killed a bunch of lab animals and they caught it. But this isn't just a few vaccines, right? This was 72 kilos.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't a small sample. Yeah, they were powdering a whole bunch of people over there.
Yeah, that's 150 pounds of virus. That's, and then you had the same type of thing going off. They had some vacuum, supposedly falsely vacuum sealed containers of some more contaminated vaccine and virus that blew up on some subways. And the fact is that the swine flu appeared outside a Baxter facility in Mexico. And then its mutated form in the Ukraine, which was predicted ahead of time by 2 months, a guy, Joseph Moshe, predicted that they would be releasing a more virulent strain of H1N1 in the Ukraine as another bioweapon. And sure enough, that happened as well.
And he got sucked out of off the globe. We don't know where he is.
Well, actually, they say he's in an institution down in Southern Cal, and
okay.
We've sent some people down there to actually see if he's there. They say he's there, but they won't let anyone see him. There's also a report that he was sent back to Israel because he was supposedly Mossad, which I haven't been able to confirm or deny, which probably would be the case even if he was.
Exactly.
So,
if folks aren't familiar with that, it's on YouTube, and they keep ripping it off YouTube. Because it was captured by L.A. traffic people the day it happened. I guess it was back in, September when they did that?
In August.
It was in August, okay. And they basically, this is before the swine flu got, into full 24/7 news cycle. And the guy basically was calling a radio station. He was driving to his embassy, and it happened to be where the L.A. FBI office was. And they went after him like he was Bin Laden himself.
With the army?
Yeah, the army, and they're having this thing on like the LA, traffic cop. They seem to be going after this dude, and they like attacked his car, and they gassed him, and they sucked him out of the car with like the Jaws of Life thing and the robot. And it was. I'm watching. I said, again, this is me, just mild mannered, dude here in the second floor in Larchmont, watching this stuff, saying, okay, if that's happening, and at the same time, Pfizer's putting up videos about Yersinia pestis on the internet. As an instructional, educational video about, stuff that was left over from the Cold War as a cop-out with Baxter. And he was like a Baxter lab guy, and this is involved with H1N1. You start saying, somebody is doing more than just trying to get everybody healthy here. And then if you know down the pike, we're dealing with what we're going to be dealing with next week with this trade agreement, And again, add it up. Google Earth, you got the mass graves, you got this going on, and they forecast 90,000 deaths back in the spring. So they couldn't scare us into getting the vaccine, so now you start seeing people that are whistleblowing, dropping away, and they started fast-tracking and changing the game again. So take us through from some late September to now we're getting into late October when stuff started happening in the Ukraine that got completely suppressed out of the news when the outbreak began, and they had to go down and basically, you know, quarantine the area there by Kiev.
Yeah, they declared martial law. They said something a little nicer than martial law, but when you cordon off whole cities with troops and police and don't allow people out of their houses or to gather at all, that's martial law. And the reports from there was that there was aerosolized medicine spraying going on in the days prior to the first 60,000 people getting sick, which I might add was in one day.
Yeah,
so,
that's a lot.
Was in one day. No sick, 60,000 sick. And there were a couple of reports, they were in South African newspapers, about the spray planes spraying, they said, medication over the city. And then there were, of course, a million denials of it afterwards. But that sickness doubled every single day. And it was nothing like nothing at all like the swine flu here. It had a mutation in the protein DG225, and that changed it from the regular H1N1 flu that hasn't been killing anybody to, they say, a different strain closer to the 1918 flu that caused lung temperatures of 136 degrees Fahrenheit. Instead, actually, they even turned black and were full of blood. That's how the people were dying over there, and they were dying. It was still only about a 2% death rate, but the onset was immediate, and they were dying in just a matter of a day or two.
And again, not reported anywhere. I mean, it's ironic that they were still waving the flag for the swine flu, trying to scare everybody. And remember, this is around the same time, if you guys just go back and look at the way the sequence of events was going on, same time they picked off those DEA agents in Afghanistan, and Obama was doing his, you know, salute over there when they brought the bodies back, because now we start seeing a mix of paramilitary, you know, drug guys. Are we going after the heroin crop? At the same time, they're crop dusting everybody with this stuff, with the chemtrails, and people see it. It gets on the British news. And it's blipped out. It's gone. One day the story's there. The next day it's like, oh, no, don't worry about that. And there's people dropping dead in the quarantine in the area. The funny part is there's an election going on in the Ukraine. So now this becomes a political thing for those guys, and they just basically black it out. They don't want to literally black out the Black Plague. They don't want anyone knowing that you know, basically people are dropping like bunnies over there. And meanwhile, we're going, we don't want the vaccine for the H1N1. We're resisting this. So it's, you got to realize, we've gotten to the point, I don't know if you remember far back when O.J. was coming out of his civil trial, and at the same time there was the whole Lewinsky thing going on, and the news guys in mainstream were having their heads were going to split open because they had both things going on at the same time and they couldn't handle two stories happening at once. You've got about 12 stories happening at once now, and they're all tied together because underneath it all, there's this thing that's going to be happening in Copenhagen, which gets us back to ClimateGate, which is happening. They hacked into the site around the same time all these things are going on. And
yep.
Then they dropped that bomb, you know, of that information, like, you know, right around Thanksgiving, right? So now connect the dot between everything we just said and this issue of ClimateGate, because something happened today, I don't know if you saw it on the news, I'll kind of, you know, lead into it in a second, that makes this point you're making about how they're taking us, you know, one by one, step by step, that there is a conductor to the orchestra. So ClimateGate surfaces around early November. It's a slowly migrating story. They poo-poo it. They throw it away. And all of a sudden, people start actually reading the emails. And this starts, because now we're a month removed from going to Copenhagen, this is going to become a big deal. This is Obama's big thing, is green jobs, you know, all this stuff. And it's all based on a premise that we're destroying the planet, and we have to behave in green behaviors. And this is becoming this new social way of you know, uniting everybody together. And now ClimateGate comes out, and
all of a sudden Al Gore's got a lot of egg on his face, and they've been promoting this stuff. I mean, you know, with, you know, the Crocodile Tears and the Polar Bears for, you know, a good 5-6 years now. And it's gotten, you know, it's gotten into the consciousness to the point where it became a political, you know, idea. And now we have a lot of, you know, basically mud going on here. So clear up ClimateGate as it relates to the stuff we were just talking about with the Ukraine and how these dots get connected.
Okay. So we go now into ClimateGate. Now, ClimateGate was originally, Copenhagen was originally, the Copenhagen Treaty was designed under the auspices, of course, of saving the planet from catastrophic climate change. Now, the emails were released exposing that as a fraud. But the idea behind the treaty was sectioned off in three sections. And the first section was government. It was creating a new world government. And every nation that signs on to this treaty will be surrendering its sovereignty to the United Nations and this world government. Now, Obama sits as the head of the Security Council there, so that's not too bad of a deal for him, right? Because now he goes from President of the United States to King of the World. So, you know, and I think that would fit right in with his ego real good. So,
well, he's already taking awards for peace as he's declaring war, so it's making sense. Okay.
I could go on forever about the Afghanistan thing too, and the differences between the campaign and now, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
Oh yeah, well,
it's really important that people understand the seriousness of what's going on in Copenhagen. See,
so yeah, let's get into that. So now we're on a fast track for this next week, and this is a slam dunk. This thing's getting done.
Since 1960, the Club of Rome, right, has been specialized in crisis creation. And those crisis creations were, of course, for the UN so that they could force the world into world government. The CFR and the Bilderberg Group also meet with the UN regularly because this is a very large plan that they've had in the works for years. And because World War I didn't work and World War II didn't work, because they thought that the working man would rebel and shake off their governments to embrace Marxism after World War I and World War II. When that didn't occur, they said, we have to go in and start over, and we need a new enemy to unite humanity. And I'm quoting, and they chose pollution and global warming as this new religion / great ideal to unite humanity under. And they believed that through creating these crises and forwarding them, that they could fundamentally change the way that the free countries of the nations felt. In other words, if they had to sacrifice their sovereignty or their way of life because the planet was going to die, then they would. So they've built everything upon this, everything. Their every next move, if they don't get this treaty, it's over for them. And they've destroyed our monetary system to the point that they can't save it because they have a new one ready to go.
Right.
One that no one can escape from. The cashless system. They've already tried it out in Korea. They've been running that smart grid city there for long enough to know exactly that it will work. And if they put everyone in there, it's an uncheatable system. You can't make $5 selling something that they don't know about because it'll have to be on your chip.
Yeah, again, you're replacing humans with this sort of one system of commerce where they could just cut you off and you don't exist.
Exactly. And not only that, but they can tell who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been vaccinated because John Holdren, Obama's science advisor, he wrote about sterilizing the people against their will. And Henry Kissinger, also in National Security Memorandum 200, right, he laid out how to go about this population reduction by sterilizing people against their will and in secret by doing things to the drinking water and especially by vaccination.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've had a couple of guests on, most notably an NIH researcher, David Goodman, who basically was involved in the big shift in the 60s was from mental health to mental illness. And the vaccination program was, you know, I remember rubella, umbrella, all the measles shots and everything. And basically he said by the 70s, they decided that, you know what, it's food and drug. So you know what we'll do? We'll just keep throwing a bunch of corn syrup and everything, and we'll have a mass phlebotomy going on over a generation. And you know, they've proven that it promotes everything from ADD, all that stuff, all the way up through Alzheimer's and you know, basically taking your frontal lobe and pouring a bunch of glue over it. So you can't think for yourself, and you don't want to think for yourself. And then the next wave was to stick all the fun things in the vaccines in the 90s, and we got here now. So they did systemically, you know, again, all for your well-being. Your government there should just looking out for you. They just kept dropping more of this gunk in the pond to the point where we're now a nation of addicted, you know, burned out and pretty much indentured servitude because we're all in debt. It's a debtor nation. And then they just go gut the economy the last 2 years. So now you've got no way of really getting out of it. And then they hit you with this sort of, you know, almost like it's sort of sweet poison in a way to say, you know what, if you just devoted yourself to saving the earth, gave up the last ounce of your freedom, then everything gets better. You know, and it's like, so now you start seeing the networks, again, who are basically benefiting from playing both sides of the fence here. They play the bait and switch pretty well on us. You get to the point now where you sort of see it going full circle, and now we're now in a position, like you were saying before, where the people are sort of acting against their own self-interest in a way to kind of give up themselves to the state, which is exactly what they wanted us to do, so that they could just pipe us off the planet. How do we, as people who are getting access to this information, not panic, number one, and also sort of, you know, basically, you know, make sure this doesn't happen, because nobody's protesting this summit next week that I know of that has any traction. Everyone's like, you know, just yipping around saying, hey, look out, but it's like 1,000 Noahs in no ark.
Well, there's a reason for that. See, up to 2 million people already showed up on September 12th and were ignored, okay, by the media. And so most of those people, and believe me, there were so many that wanted to be there, you know, because of the condition of the economy, people just couldn't travel. There very easily could have been 10 million there that day if on any other time in our history when people could actually still afford to do something. But the people that are going to get ready have gotten ready. And they're tired of yelling at people that refuse to even look at the information. So there's going to be protest, but what there's not going to be is the sovereignty of America taken away. I know this for fact. I know that the attempt of that will lead this country into war, for sure. No doubt.
Civil war or international?
Civil, possibly international. And the reason behind that is the people that have investigated this, and believe me, just with very little investigation, of someone with a slightly open mind can put the pieces together immediately. In one night of someone who just for a moment stops and looks at the history of governments and looks especially at the history of Marxism, because Europe is a Marxist. The whole area, all of it, is Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
It is a form of socialism. And socialism has it written into it. Karl Marx wrote, the only way for it to succeed is for it to take over the whole world. And he also wrote that it is the antithesis to everything that we have been raised to believe, our Judeo-Christian beliefs here in America. And whether somebody is Judeo-Christian in religion or not, if they were raised in America, they were raised with those values because those were America's values. And so they affect your life every day. And that those things are like freedom, the family, religion. All these things Marx vowed to destroy. And the neo-Marxists, via the Frankfurt Institute, and then moved here to America, I think it was in 1958, but it might be a couple years later than that. They were the bastion of the Marxists that went underground after their failures and after all the murders And the many, almost 300 million killed by the different Marxist leaders around the country. And so they decided that they had to change their image, and they changed it to political correctness and liberalism and brought it to America. And under the guise of that, they have inserted laws that remove your freedom, they remove your free choice, and they have sought to combine themselves with the rest of the Marxists of the world. Well, you can't be free and be a Marxist. It doesn't work that way.
No, your whole life is devoted to the state. Like you said in one of your videos that actually got me, you know, I'm 3 hours ahead of you, so I'm sitting here 2-3 in the morning going, and he just say that, rewind, I got to hear that again, that if it means killing you to save 10 people, they'll kill you because it's all about the state, not about the individual. So basically anyone that's at the center, like if you don't get your vaccine, if you don't do this or that, you become, as they said before, and they tried to float this in New York State, you become a public health hazard, and they will isolate you. And you know, they will move you away from the population, rip up families and all that stuff, which gets into this next thing that kind of surfaced the last couple of days, stuff you posted about what the APA's putting about, is that they're trying to legislate what they call so-called green behavior. And by doing this, again, it's about group behavior, not individual. If you don't fly with the flock, you are now a dissenter, and you'll be dealt with as a terrorist. Like you guys were rounded up as if you were criminals for hanging out being yourself. And so what happens is that now this thing has gone, again, always with the psychologist. Found a guy today that got on the Jon Stewart show, I just found out about a couple hours ago, Mark Hufnagel, who's got a whole new book out called Denialism. Right now, this is another thing that's going to start, you're going to start seeing this with ClimateGate next week, because they're going to, just like they did with the 9/12 movement, they're going to paint those people as being the wacko, you know, fringe, because they don't have a voice and they don't have the media behind them, so they look like, you know, basically like they're right out of a Star Wars bar, and basically they're saying things that are truth, but it comes across as being fringe stuff. So what they say is, when it comes to this stuff, that there's five basic factors that come up when you're dealing with denialism, and he talks about conspiracy and cherry picking information and false experts and moving the goalposts and all these other things. And they're going to roll that out there, straw man, red herring, to anyone that says that the global warming data that's been out there is basically the status quo that's going through in the summit is real. So if you say that stuff is wrong, or that stuff is a pack of lies, or that stuff is falsifiable, you are now just like someone who's not getting their swine flu shot. You're not going along with the flock. You're a threat. You're a public health hazard with those thoughts. You're not exhibiting good green behavior. And once they deem you as being psychologically, you know, having a condition of saying you're not going along with the flock, they can take you away just like they could take you away if they declare you insane for any other reason. So how do you combat something like that, where this is a fundamental, you know, the premise of being an American? You have a right to your point of view. Now, dissent, you remember wake of 9/11, Patriot Act, dissent was, if you don't do this, then you're not a patriot. If you don't do this, then you're not, you know, you're part of the, you're helping the terrorists. It seems as if they're trying to get us to operate from fear of reprisal rather than preserving freedom. How do you not panic when someone's doing that?
Well, that even goes back to a comment you made a little bit earlier, too, about them putting fluoride in the water to dumb people down and the corn syrup and all that.
Yeah.
And it comes with stealing a generation of children, and actually they've managed to get two generations now, and indoctrinate them into consensus building in schools and universities. See, what you're encouraged to do in schools and university now is to consensus build. The teacher will present you with talking points, then you discuss it, but the teacher will lead that discussion to lead you to the conclusion that she's going to present to you after she presents you both sides of the argument. So once you've been raised doing that your whole life, right, that you'll just go with what the group says. It's about groupthink. It's about herdthink. It's the same thing with the swine flu shot. They talk about herd immunity. You know, if you don't get your shot, you're endangering the herd, etc. So the way to combat that is to remember, right, like if they had listened to the professor there at Chernobyl that kept telling them that it was going to blow up for the 2 weeks before it blew up, instead of using their groupthink and ignoring it, then Chernobyl people could probably still live around there. But because they didn't, it blew up. If we had practiced groupthink in World War II when we were designing our new planes, because Japan just blew us to pieces and outflew everything we had and shot them all down, we probably wouldn't have come out of that the way we did, because this country is built on individual greatness. Okay, and that individual's greatness inspired others to be great. That's why we put so much emphasis on heroes here in America, because they were something to aspire to, and you worked hard to get at it. And it wasn't something you got at because you had a group of others getting you there. It was your achievement, and you could take pride in it. And that was why this country led the world for so long, is because that was how we did things. We celebrated greatness and uniqueness in this country. We did not denigrate greatness or attribute things like unfairness to it or anything to tear. And we certainly didn't lower standards to try to even things up. That's where we started going wrong here, and people are indoctrinated to be like that. It's time to start admiring greatness again.
Now, how do we reconcile a couple of things here? Because this is one of the things, especially being on the holistic side and being around a lot of the tree huggers and all the patchouli people on my end of the spectrum, is that I look around. I've been on the planet almost 45 years. The 28th, I'll get there, of December. I look around. And I don't see I don't see a real healthy planet. I see a planet that has a lot of issues just functioning wherever there's a population of people. There's and I don't think that a lot of the environmental explanations are accurate. I definitely never agree with the hockey stick stuff, but I do think that the planet is going through some kind of basically a purge of sorts. When you see a Katrina, when you see the winters we have, you see it snowing in Houston, you see all these things happening. That maybe it's the fact that we're living in an age where every 5 seconds something has to be put on the news, and we just know more, and there's more pixels on the chart. But I definitely see that if I'm not being a scientist about it, I'm just being a guy walking around, that locally the conditions have changed, and globally, if you could spread it out over the whole globe, you definitely see. If you see the Kilimanjaro stuff, you don't say, well, I can't blow that off. But I can blow off a bunch of fake scientists saying stuff, because being someone who's operated, in complete 180 degrees from mainstream medicine with healthcare and the stuff they put out, the pack of lies they put out about that, from prophylactic antibiotics all the way down, and the vaccines like we discussed, I don't believe a word that comes out of those guys' mouth. So why would I think that these guys are anything different? I had a rocket scientist on the show on Wednesday that was disparaging the climatology guys as junk science. It's not even real science to them, to the guys that are trying to get stuff done. So it's like, how do you reconcile what you observe to be true and then what is measured and reported and sort of promulgated as truth that you can't question because some scientist said it at some university in England? And when you see all that and you say, okay, I have to make choices for myself here, and this thing's going to go through. Now, I saw them coming on the news this afternoon on CNN basically supporting, the consensus in the scientific community still thinks, the Al Gore interpretation is correct, and why would you, take a couple of emails out and say it out of context? And then you see a couple of senators and a couple of guys, hey, you know what? You read those emails? This isn't kosher science. We can't use this as our argument. Now, knowing everything about Agenda 21 and knowing everything about what the UN is set to do and knowing everything that's going on in Ukraine, how do we derail this thing, next week? Is it going to be like they're going to shut down Twitter? Are they going to, if news got out about this stuff and we were talking about it, like Twitter would have prevented Katrina because we would have got people out of there that, instead of waiting for FEMA and waiting for everybody to do, we would have said, you know what? There's a damn Category 5 hurricane heading towards your house. Get the hell out of there. But everybody back then was waiting around for permission to leave, and they're waiting for the mayor to do it. So if we disconnect from that mainstream governmental, central government control, and we operate as free people, as independent thinkers, as individualists that are not so much selfish, but we're doing things and making choices based on our own decisions here, not based on what we're told to do. And every time we do that now, you're telling me that someone's going to be calling us psychologically damaged and we're going to be rounded up and herded up and singled out. Is that what you expect to happen as the economy goes through its constraints and this thing just keeps unfolding if they don't get this cap and trade through?
Well, I think they have several things set to go off. We have the buildup in the Black Sea over with Iran. We have the joint maneuvers we've been doing with Israel for a while. I think that's the last ditch effort. We also have the medical epidemic, and they can get around this treaty with that too. If they can just get enough member states to declare national emergencies, that'll also give the World Health Organization a type of dictatorship over the world, at least during that declared emergency. So those are their two stopgaps if they don't get people to willingly do the Copenhagen Treaty. So
the Patriot Act would take over here, and they'd have a local way of doing it elsewhere, right?
Right, right. And you know, they've come out with several different publications. You know, there's the MIAC report, there's the Department of Homeland Security lexicon, where they lay out very clearly who it is they think are terrorists, and it's everyone. It's not just people on the right. It's not just militias. It's not just motorcycle clubs. It's environmentalists. It's PETA, it's animal rights, it's anti and pro abortion. I mean, everybody is on that list. Veterans, so they've given themselves the capability to just grab whoever and take whoever, whenever in a state of emergency, and an economic collapse of the type that my financial guys say is on the horizon would definitely do that. But let me get back to Copenhagen real quick.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being concerned about the environment. There are some things that we need to fix with the environment, but we don't need to fix it by creating a gigantic, massive socialist bureaucracy that's requesting up to $300 billion just to get started.
Right, because the agenda of that is to tax us, right?
40% more.
Right, which that ends the game. When I saw that on one of the videos, I guess it was last week, right after Thanksgiving, you put that out, and I'm thinking of what you said. Most families living on about $2,000 a month. If 40% has to go to this crap, we're done. Then our private property goes away, and then we are basically an indigent nation of 300 million people wandering around, you know, wait to see which stick is going to hit us in the head first. That would be panic. That would be time for civil war. They could cover that live on all four of these damn networks, for God's sakes. And I don't know if that happens a month after Christmas, 3 or 4 months from now. If they don't get what they want next week, and that's their big rattle to get this thing through, do they squeeze us, you know, in the dead of winter here in the Northeast and say, okay, we're gonna squeeze you here? If they didn't get what they wanted, they'll find another way to get us. Are they just going to become very impatient with this, or are they methodical and they'll just kind of squirrel around and figure out another way to kind of drain the pool?
They have the pieces in place right now to shut down the country, to call the military in right now. They have foreign troops here right now to shut down the country. And we have a national emergency declared already. And it's my understanding that in Florida and Iowa and Texas, they have cases of the hemorrhagic black lung thing that happened over in the Ukraine here.
So they're dropping it. They're dropping it, peppering it in the flyover states. And a couple people die in Iowa. Nobody cares on the East Coast or the West Coast. Guy dies in Texas. They don't notice it. So we get isolated reports. Again, they don't really integrate these things and say why that person died or what they died of. They just go, oh, somebody died and their lungs bled a little bit. And meanwhile, I've heard reports of anywhere from between 300 and 6,000 people have died in the Ukraine as a result of the exposure to this thing. And again, with quarantine, news blackout, the whole thing. If it ever got out that Baxter was letting out Cold War-level bioterror weapons, wouldn't that become news somewhere here? Wouldn't we think of that as like, we've always been waiting for the other shoe to drop? And it's funny, I was talking about this to somebody before, we used to think, if we lost the Cold War, that this is the way the Russians would run things. And it seems like we have become what we feared. We've become this, like, we're going to take over the world kind of thing. And we bought into this stuff. Now, is that because we kind of played our cards wrong with China and that basically we're the tipping point went the other, or was this all basically designed by these guys you've named, the Ted Turners and the Rockefellers of the world that just said, you know what, we got to take 4 billion of you off the planet. So we're going to find out how to do that real quick.
Well, this was obviously their plan. The Rockefellers and the Rothschilds funded Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Ford funded Hitler. They funded Stalin. They funded Mao. They funded Pol Pot. They even funded Saddam Hussein.
Right, right. Look at the Bush administration's relationship with the Saudis, and they go back into the, you know, they were implicated in some of the stuff around the crash in 29. You know, so it's like this mindset of and again, this is I don't know where you stand on Michael Moore's latest movie. I watched that thing. It took me 10 minutes to get out of the chair when it was over with, because if you take what we grew up in, 50s, 60s, American dream, middle class, it was possible to earn a living and have a lifestyle. And then by the 80s, it became you got to yuppie up and you got to basically get greedy. And then 20 years later, now you've got people openly ripping you off, scamming and scamming, taking your retirement, taking all that stuff that you worked so hard for away. And then you're told, after this whole thing collapses and this whole thing is basically, you know, on its butt, that now, in addition to that, your freedoms are taken away, you better get your shot, and here we come putting a chip in your arm, and you got to like it. I don't know how much more we're supposed to take until we just say, you know what, this is it. And it is basically like you're talking about, a civil war. And I don't know, could we survive a civil war as a country if this happened, being all these things have been percolating for 10, 15, 20 years in the system? Are we all just going to run down the hill here to Wall Street and just start cutting heads off? How's it going to play out? Do you really see it becoming so unstable that's the only way to get this thing, you know, back where we're not going to be threatened by these people, to finally take them out? Or is it just going to be uprising here, uprising there, round them up, throw them away, and they just pick us off like, you know, like King Kong swatting away the planes?
They're outnumbered 200 to 1. They have technology, and people like to mention their technology. But you have to put technology somewhere. And if the somewhere you're putting that technology is in the place where your enemy is, and since and in the type of uprising I'm talking about, everywhere would be where the enemy is, since it would be here. There's just no way to keep supplies or anything like that going. No way. And so the kind of uprising you're going to see is going to be a whole bunch of unprepared, very hungry people.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, I mean, if you look at what happened in the Ukraine when Stalin cut them off and starved them, and read some of the history on that, they ate their kids.
Right.
Because they were starving. People don't like to hear that kind of stuff, but that's the deterioration that's possible with the collapse that's coming. And it isn't like it's not something, they don't mind it, because America was strong enough. And even though our money is down, our military is still the strongest in the world. And it could have defended itself from any enemy, even all of them, together. And still could if they pulled it together. So the elites cannot risk that. They cannot risk losing. Because it's going to be French Revolution-style uprising.
So you think they're going to give up? They're going to give up a couple of, you know, basically for the good of the cause, and they're applying their own principle that they'll give up a Rockefeller, they'll give up a... you know, one of these guys that they think that they can kind of like, you know, distance themselves from and sort of clean up their act and cover up a lot of this stuff once they sense that the end is near? Because like you said in one of your videos that was a couple of days ago, that they're starting to get security, they're starting to get guns around them, they're starting to sense that people are figuring this out, they're starting to get a little paranoid as we approach and ramp up to this Copenhagen summit. Is Obama, he's getting, 400 threats a week, and they've been, you know, basically having a good old time talking about this White House crash thing, the gate crash leak thing. He's getting 400 threats a week. Is he someone that basically has got his head on a swivel thinking he's going to get taken out by these guys?
I don't think so. I think people recognize that he's just a puppet for them, that he doesn't have a choice. I think they'll just do a JFK on him. He doesn't do exactly as he's told. Because there's not a whole lot of things that I agree with him on, but I do believe he was sincere about ending the wars over there when he talked about that. I think that's the only thing in his life he's ever been sincere about, and I don't think that he could, there's just no way they wouldn't let him do it. I don't think he wanted to send more troops to Afghanistan.
No, no, he looked like a guy. It looked like a hostage tape the other day watching them talk at West Point over here in New York. And I actually, for the first time, I actually felt sorry for the bastard. Sorry, Obama. You know, up there after he's been everything he's been through this summer, and all these things that he tried to get through and had to basically take the hit for. Having to see him go up there, tail between his legs, and you know, after having all these big consultations with all his intelligence people, to go talk to the military and tell them, look, I know it's only a month removed from what happened at Fort Bragg, but, you know, we're sending another 35,000 of you basically straight down the freaking pipe. Have a good night, drive safely. He didn't look happy about it. And the thing is, it's kind of like Colin Powell, you know, ramping up to the Iraq War. Another guy that basically was probably promised a bunch of stuff, and he gets caught holding the bag. It just seems like there's a lot of guys that get drunk on the power. They think they're gonna get inside, and there's always another level up. There's always another, you know, crap rolls downhill. And it just seems like what you're saying is right, that if enough people figure this out, and I don't know what's going to happen next week. Maybe they get this thing through, and then as a result of people actually reading the fine print, like you've been pointing out on your YouTube page, everyone, that we're giving up a lot of stuff that we fought and a lot of people died for, basically to benefit who? And it, like when you start doing the paper trail like you've done, you start realizing it's the same goddamn 12, 15 people we always see. You know, Soros here and these guys over there. And it's like the puppet string thing. It's like enough already. And that's why I was hoping, just like you, that Obama would have said to them, you know what? They said to send 35,000, but why? Who are we fighting? What are we doing there? And then when you see all the things happening around Afghanistan, Ukraine, you start realizing that basically it just looks like all these things are just tests to see what works and what doesn't float. And what can they spread out and do in a bigger circle and a bigger circle the next time? Whether it's Madrid, whether it's 9/11, you know, what can they do to get us to really just, like, basically beg for protection, and then they can just roll the tanks in the cities? I'm a little concerned that we're so economically, you know, basically kind of almost depleted to the point of starvation that if they get this 40% thing through, yeah, it's gonna be on. And you know, I haven't shot anything but a pop gun in my whole life, but, you know, your advice the other day was to shoot at 400 yards. I'm like, this might be interesting next year because I might be sitting there going to the old the range up the block here and finding my cop friends and stuff like that. So in closing here, just to clear things up, we started off trying to get into climate gate. We got into World War III and all that stuff. How do you take all the – I mean, you get this stuff on your porch every day, like you're saying – and you're someone who's studying psychology, so you're literally in the belly of the beast and how they program people and how they get people to do things they don't want to do. What advice would you give people that are getting not just scared, but they're getting to the point where they're getting, you know, unstable, you get the guy that's going to take a shot at somebody or do something silly and, you know, basically, you know, kind of literally jump the gun instead of gathering their information and using the social media, things like that, to not panic people, but to provide them with the clear information and say, like you're doing. Like I said, I watch your stuff, and I'm like, he's not trying to panic people. He's trying to say, here, will you read this? Will you get past the headline? You know, it's like, this is important. And I kind of feel like I said before, 1,000 no is a no shift. How do you get people to proactively prepare for something that is going to put them in a position where they might have 40% of their income going up the chute very soon?
Well, for me, it's because I'm a Christian. I wasn't always one, but I am, and it was recently that it really became something big to me because things happened that just couldn't have happened on their own. And I'll just leave it at that. But the book says we win. And so if the book says we win, then obviously we just need to present the truth. And if we present the truth, and we only present the truth, and if we do present something that isn't truth, we take responsibility for that and apologize, then we will win. If we don't, and we don't care, and apathy sets in, then it's just going to fall apart. And I just feel for what people are going to go through.
Well, believe me, in this Christmas season, and this is one of those seasons, like I think you said, this might be the last one without martial law, the informed
will take action, and the misinformed and the ill-informed will be what we're watching go by the wayside. So I thank you for everything you're doing. I understand you're coming from the heart with it. You know, you, if anyone's ever watched one of your videos, you can always see just over your shoulder. You know, you've got your kid there, and you've got, you know, you're coming from a perspective that is basically extremely common and extremely rare at the same time, being who you are and how you've lived your life. And I just want to say, you know, I don't know you from Adam. I know you from YouTube and stuff, but I feel a little, like I said, we've been through similar circumstances through different channels in the cosmic airport here, but we are collectively changing planes of existence here. So, you know, just to give people just a kind of a going away present here, what's the one big misconception about ClimateGate, Copenhagen, or anything we talked about here that you want everyone here to just walk away from this interview just knowing that is basically you could stick a fork in it, it's true?
They've been adding to the temperatures since 1980 to make it appear like global warming is happening. You just don't need any more than that.
It's openly lying. Just cooking the books.
Cooking the books. It's a fraud.
Cooking us, too. Wow. Well, you know, unless you're selling sunblock or you know, a vacation in the Caribbean, or like what they did with daylight savings. The reason why they stuck it, they moved the dates on that, was to help two businesses. I found out about this on the down low as well. You're gonna laugh. It's basically people that sell the charcoal briquettes for barbecues, and the people that sell fire those things. What the heck are those things in your house? You know, that go off for fire alarms because you change your batteries around the time that the clocks change. So it had nothing to do with what Ben Franklin was thinking about for farming. It was basically to make sure that you had a couple more barbecues and that you change your batteries every couple of months in your fire alarms in your house. So if we're that superficial and that damn phony about something that innocuous, yeah, I could see that they could do all this other crap and have absolutely and sleep on a bed of money and a cold pillow and not give a rat's ass about us inching along here. So. Thanks for basically coming on here and splashing all over summertime. I'm sure people are going to be up walking around in their house listening to this, and hopefully they're going to share it with someone they care about, because when the shit hits the fan, they're going to shut down everything. They're going to shut down all this social media stuff, like you saw it happen in the elections in Iran and what's going on in the Ukraine right now. I mean, those people can't get visas. They can't get out of there. They can't get anyone to help them. They're ripping off stuff off YouTube that private people are putting up saying it's copyright stuff. So they're making up the rules here. And as Americans, we tend to try to break rules that are made up. So hopefully we're going to be kicking the right ass and having a 2010, a little bit of a rewrite here. Because I think we took this year off. I think we just took 2009 off, and we just let a lot of stuff slide. And hopefully next year we'll push back at this, and you could provide some happy news there on your channel every day that how we actually expose these people for what they are, and we can go about our business and live our lives the way we were intended to. So thanks for joining us here in summertime. Hopefully we'll meet again, maybe on your channel, and we'll keep this discussion going so enough people can get the information they need to live their life right.
Sounds great, man. Thank you for having me on.
All right, hang on 1 second, and everybody else, just keep listening here. This is Dr. Mark on Summertime. Thanks for your time and your space. Be yourself and be well. I'll be right back for everybody else.
All right, wow. Well, there was a rousing little hour. I'm over here at 2:08 in the morning here in my little bunker here in Larchmont, New York, and the chat room's filling up, and the world is listening, so wow, I'm pretty impressed. We covered a lot of ground there in that little talk, and like I said, I want to continue the discussion. So we got a couple minutes left. If anybody wants to call in and vent, whatever you got, I'm here. It's 646-478-4847, and if you want to add to the discussion or challenge some of the things we put out there, I will be glad to return with some fire on this end, because like I said, I'm charged up about this. I think this is something that needs to be on the 24/7 news cycle in your head, because it is going to affect someone real close to you real soon. And, you know, I deal with a lot of these Wall Street types. You know, they've been my clients for almost 20 years. And in the last year and a half, they're walking pretty humbly around here in the streets of Larchmont. And they're looking at this old hairball in his T-shirt a little differently these days. And we're starting to get to that point where the boundaries between, you know, different caste systems, all that garbage that went on in the last two election cycles, red America, blue America, that's all going away. And this is going to get interesting, like I said. This is not something that's going to just be continually tucked under the rug. We'll ignore it. We'll probably ignore it right through the holiday season like we usually do. But we might wake up to a very different January than we're used to here in the States. And internationally, who knows? Like I said, if you're listening in the Ukraine right now, you have something to chime in and enlighten us with, I'd love to hear it. So again, it's number 646-478-4847. Here in Summertime, I'm Dr. Mark. I am listening to everything at this point because I have nothing better to do, literally, and that means everything. So you guys in the chat room, you can be listening to, you want to call in, we got the doc himself is hanging out here in the chat room here listening in. So, again, we're going to be putting the show out, and I'm going to put it also on the interview you just heard. That section of it will be on blogsoma.net immediatante, so that we'll get it out on the Twitter. We'll get it out on the Facebook tonight, and hopefully, like I said, get you guys talking, get you guys questioning, get you guys to examine some of these things, because it isn't something that you could just blow off anymore. It isn't something you could just say, oh, well, that's those wackos on the internet doing it. And I'm just curious because, I watch a lot of different shows and how the different cable channels are dealing with this and how they're approaching it, because it's a story. ClimateGate is again, it's got a lot of things sticking out of it. You know, it's sort of a big olive loaf of stuff. It's like the fruitcake of all events, because it exposes the part behind the curtain that really wasn't sticking out before of where they were going with this stuff. And like I said during the interview there, you got to separate the reality from the politics behind it and the filters that go on to make people act certain ways, and they label people certain things. And that's why when you suppress a pneumonic plague in the Ukraine and you suppress information about H1N1 or H5, as they were talking about, the facts are kind of stuffed in there, and you don't report those things. And then you got people like isolated incidents, people dropping dead in Iowa, people dropping dead in Texas. It has its own way of gathering its own steam. And that's why I said, in the era of social media, someone's going to scoop it up, and someone's going to start saying, hey, what about this and what about that? And I found articles and things like the New York Times questioning the stuff on ClimateGate, which you would never expect that to be there. So we're separating a lot of those boundary conditions that were there before, and we're sort of like folding this thing over, and we're starting to say, you know what, instead of trying to divide everything, we're starting to see through the walls here a little bit. So if you guys got anything else to say tonight, I'd be happy to batter back and forth with you. And like I said, we got about another 15 minutes of airtime here. Otherwise, I will be glad to sign off, because I got to be back here and do my day job tomorrow here in at Soma Space. So we got time and space covered here. So you guys got any questions for me in the chat room here? Anybody wants to say anything? Or come on, pop on and ask a couple questions. Otherwise, I'll wrap it up and let you guys go about your business. So let me just ask again. Anyone want to talk on the air? As I type and talk at the same time. Multitasking is about all I can do there. So I hope you guys enjoyed it, because it was one of those interviews that is going to make you think. It's going to make you at least go Google a couple things. Like, if all I got out of this is a couple hundred of you go out there and Google Agenda 21 as we approach this conference next week in Copenhagen, and you start connecting the dots. What is the UN's role with the World Health Organization? What is its role with the CDC? You know, how do all these federal organizations, like, National Institutes of Health, what do they say about these things? Because we've already kind of glommed together the public school system with Big Pharma, with the vaccine situation, and you've seen how states like Massachusetts are moving on this in terms of, you know, sticking the chip in us. So these are things that are, if you live in the state of Massachusetts, you know, they fast-tracked these things. They gave it right to Child Protective Services. And nobody seems to realize how, you know, as Doc was saying, how stealth and how systemic all this stuff is getting faster and faster and faster. And we keep getting distracted by, you know, Tiger and all the other stuff, like they know Americans would be. You know, we love to be distracted and not tune into this stuff and just play the Christmas music louder and maybe it'll all go away. Maybe not. So let's see, one last look at the board. Okay, nobody's calling in. You guys are all flat on your back tire, but I want to thank everybody for listening, number one. I'll wind her down here, and let's see if I got Neil tuned in here. Let's see. Kind of an appropriate song to wind us down. From Massey Hall, 1971, actually. There he is. You know, this is around the same time that this was going on, about, looking at about 30 years ago, almost 40 years ago now. There you go, Neil. All right, so I'll play us out with that and give you guys a little quiet weekend to think about it. We'll be back Wednesday night live from the hull of the Midnight Sun in San Diego with some new friends you guys are going to meet from wearecom.com. That's two M's. And we're going to get to another side of this story as we use the technology like we're using now to get our humanity back breathing and moving around a little better. So you guys stay safe this weekend. Keep it real. And as always, travel light through the darkness. Be well, my Sabians. Sacromaniacs tonight. Spiral on, spiral on, and spiral on.